Oh, yeah, people, you know, even our own company describes a moment where we became, but no, we toured a lot. I mean, we were touring a lot in the early days. We toured for 3 years or 4 years from the summer of 86 to the summer of 89. So 3 years in a row we toured around with in a tent. So we were producing the shows for John Paul's tent. So Dave and I had the Dangerous Duo, and Richie, Pete and Tom had the Risky and Pink, and together we had a sort of pantomime that we created each year for those 3 years, so a larger scale show with the five of us. So he, John Paul, had the circus tent, and we would go and play those three shows every day for a week and then move to the next town and do it. So there'd be a Risky show, a Dangerous Duo show, our afternoon big show, and then we would be doing teaching workshops in the morning. So, you know, the five of us pretty much did everything for him. And we had a great time doing tours of all across the UK for the whole summer, rarely getting a day off, you know. Really, we would work from Tuesdays to Saturdays doing performances, and then take down after the show on Sunday afternoon, drive and move to the next place and put it all up and start again for the following week. And at that time we even worked in Zippo's tent. He had a like tiny white marquee with one van, and we used to do our shows for him as well. So between Artsplay Umbrella and Zippo, we would have a full summer of work, and in between the tent gigs sometimes we'd go off and do our own other gigs with Dangerous Duo or Risky and Pink as well. So we were, yeah, really busy in those days, touring the whole of the UK. We did a lot of work in Scotland. And then in, I guess at some point we got a bit like, wow, blimey, we're working really, really hard, and Artsplay Umbrella's getting all the credit for this. So we decided to go out and buy ourselves our own tent, thinking if we were working that hard, at least No Fit State, it should be called the No Fit State Tour, not the Artsplay Umbrella Tour. I mean, there were other people working in Artsplay Umbrella as well, like Goffy the Clown and Green Ginger Puppets, and so it was, we'd found a lifestyle that we really, really liked. And in those days there was summers in the UK, and we used to spend a glorious amount of time in lovely parks all the way across the UK doing shows for kids and families and having a really nice lifestyle, waking up in the morning, opening the door to your caravan to lovely surroundings and fountains and flowers and things that you'd never have in your own garden. So it's great.
Before we sort of like get onto the tent, again, so like in that really like early phase, and you just formed the company, do you have like a memory of what your ambitions for it were? I mean, maybe that lifestyle is one of the things.
Yeah, it was definitely about lifestyle and about being able to express a political opinion. And I also remember that one of the things we always said really early on was that we need to, if we're going to keep doing it, we need to get better at what we do all the time. So that was the sort of pact that we made, that if we didn't get better, we'd give up. And also, that would give us the opportunity to take risks to try and improve ourselves, because we knew what our baseline was, which was to be back on the dole. So we could take a chance to do something to make ourselves better. And if it didn't work, we'd be back on the dole. So that's how we operated in those early days. It was like, yeah, as long as this is fun and we keep getting better, we'll keep doing it. That lasted for quite a while until the first person of the five dropped out. Mainly, I think, as you get older, it's all right to having that attitude when you're 23 and young, single and free, but as people got involved in relationships and started families and things, it became bit more difficult to have that sort of cavalier attitude.
I think can you describe, like, I mean, you said you're doing these big summer tours. Like, where are you making the shows? Where is that happening?
Mostly in... when we were working with Art Spin Umbrella, he used to put his tent up in a field just outside Cardiff, and we would all go and live there and sleep in our caravans and rehearse in his tent. We'd also work with our local village hall, church hall, which actually happens to be the space next door to the space that we live in now. So it was all part of the same complex. So originally we did rehearsals upstairs in the Trinity Centre in Adamsdown, and now we've got their church hall as our permanent training space. So, and then once we got our own tent, we found a field that was out in, we advertised in Farmers Monthly or something, some farmers magazine, saying circus looking for field to rehearse in. And these guys from Pencoed, which is out on the M4 at Junction 35, said, yeah, you're welcome, come and, you know, use our field, and charge us a very minimal amount of rent. And we used to put the tent up in the field, bring all the vehicles, spend a month there in the mud and the rain in March and April, getting the shows ready to be on tour at the beginning of May.
Is that partly the sort of the rhythm of that circus life, that you have this period of like sort of slogging through the mud and the rain, and then you get your nice summer?
It seemed like it at the time. I mean, right up until recently, yeah. I think rehearsals are generally, well, to get the show ready for May, which is the touring season, you have to be working, putting the tent up and doing tent repairs and stuff and maintenance in March, ready to be rehearsing in April, to be ready to go at the beginning of May, or else you'd miss the season. So it's pretty wet and windy in March and April in the UK, even back then.
So I was sort of looking through the timeline, and one of the sort of the early points on there was touring 24 Glasgow housing estates with Every Which Way in
1988. So 1988, it wasn't the City of Culture, was it the Glasgow Garden Festival, or was it leading up to it becoming the City of Culture? Anyway, at that point we were doing a lot of work in Glasgow through Arts Play Umbrella. And he arranged us to be up there for 3 weeks. What it actually was, it was the Garden Festival, so whatever year that was, because we were working at weekends doing street entertaining for the public at the Garden Festival, four weekends in a row, and then 3 weeks in between, we were touring these, going to all the Gorbals and Easter House and Wester House and all these really rough housing estates, and doing shows for the kids in the housing estates. So we would do two different housing estates in a day, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. Usually in the bottom of the huge high-rise flat, there'd be some sort of community centre that would be pretty ropey, pretty derelict. If you were lucky, you'd find a caretaker that would be there at 9:30 in the morning to open the door for you so that you could set up. If you weren't lucky, you'd find 100 kids outside waiting for the drunken caretaker to arrive to let you in. We used to have to take all the everything off the outside of the truck before we went in, because if you left any lenses or mirrors on, they'd be gone by the time you came out. So before we went in to set up the show, we would take the things off the truck and lock them inside, and then screw them all back on afterwards. It was quite an experience. But, you know, the kids absolutely loved what we were doing, and it was really worthwhile doing something for kids that never get anything, even though it's really tough, because they were quite hard, a lot of them.
Yeah.
The show itself, they used to... the kids would be like, and the parents as well, if they were there, would be just like talking all the way through it, and it just seemed like nobody really cared whether you were performing or not. And then I realised that actually it's because once there's an event in the community, then everybody arrives, and then they all live in these really oppressive housing situations, and they're suddenly together as a community, and that's what they want to do, is share their meet each other, share their stories. And so unfortunately, while we were gathering them, we were also suffering from them, you know, all being together and meeting each other and doing what they do as a community. And we were supporting that, but in a very frustrating way for ourselves, having to perform a show where everyone's just chatting all the way through it.
Did that give you the sort of the first idea that maybe another way of doing this is to bring everyone together and then actually sort of bring them into the show? Was that much later than that?
I think that was, you know, all of those early experiences have formed our viewpoint on society and community, and how useful art can be in society and community for bonding and making communities and strengthening communities and giving people opportunities that they don't normally have. And that started really, really early on with No Fit State. It's always been part of our culture. And that actually was a really big advantage later on when funding started to happen for that sort of thing, when suddenly it became, oh, you must work with communities, you must do participation. It was like, yeah, and that's what we've been doing all along without even realising it. Didn't even realise there was a way of not doing it, in a sense. It's always been part of our work.